نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. It is indeed a great privilege and honor to be sitting amongst a group of those people who have memorized the ultimate word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran Majid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his ahadith, have mentioned countless virtues regarding those people who read the Quran, who memorize the Quran, or who memorize part of the Quran or parts of the Quran, and those people who understand the Quran, and those people who practice the Quran. One such hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala on the authority of Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was recited in the khutbah: خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Quran and who teaches the Quran. Ponder over the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who learn the Quran and teach the Quran, they are the best group of the ummah. Khayrukum. The insan, the human, is ashraful makhluqat. The creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are innumerable. There are so many creatures that live in the oceans. There are so many creatures that live in the jungles that the humans are not even aware of. What we know is far less than what we don't know, as far as the inhabitants of jungles and the seas are concerned. So from amongst all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insan and the human is ashraful makhlukat, the best. And from amongst all the humans, the nation of Adam alayhi salam, the ummah of Isa alayhi salam, and all the ummahs in between, the best ummah is our ummah, alhamdulillah. So human is the best creation. From amongst the humans, our ummah is the best ummah. And who is the best from our ummah? خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. So those people who learn the Quran and teach the Quran, they are the cream of humanity. It is such a great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us by granting us the tawfiq, granting our parents the tawfiq, and granting us the opportunity to enroll in a madrasa and become a hafiz of the Quran, and even further the alim of the Quran. What we, as those people connected to Quran, need to do is to ponder over all the virtues, or majority of the virtues, or some of the virtues that we can remember, and ponder over these virtues and try to recognize our own value. If I cannot value myself, then why should I expect you to value me? If I have a mobile and if I don't value it, if I just put it here and there, and if I don't look after it properly, then if I give it to my nephew and say I'm going to perform wudu, look after this, he'll also just put it here and there. But if my nephew sees me during the journey that this is something that he holds very dearly and he doesn't let go of it, so if I tell him that I'm going to perform wudu, look after this, he'll also hold it very dearly. So until we ourselves don't realize our value, why should we expect anybody else to value us? Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Shaykhul Arabi Wal Ajam, the great Shaykh of the Indian subcontinent, to whom the whole Ummah is indebted, he went to Pakistan and he went to visit Darulum Karachi, and he was requested by Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi to say a few words to the students and the teachers. Now Darulum Karachi is a very large Darulum. It is one of the most renowned Darulums in the world. Thousands of students, dozens of teachers, and the likes of Mufti Shafi Rahmatullahi Alayhi and Maulana Sahban Mahmood Rahmatullahi Alayhi in those days, Mufti Taqi Sahib, Mufti Rafi Sahib, they were all juniors when Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi went into the madrasa. So everybody expected a very detailed and lengthy academic lecture, because it was an academic center, Darulum Karachi, and that is what normally happens when ulama go to academic centers. They lecture academically. And Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he was a master in the science of Hadith. He was master in every science, but especially the science of Hadith. So everybody was very, very attentive and ready to listen to Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayhi was brought to the gathering, and he sat in front of the gathering, and he mentioned only one sentence and he left the gathering. The whole lecture was only one sentence. It was his habit to say, "Mere Pyaro," my beloved ones, when he used to speak to his students or his juniors. So he came and no khutbah, no introduction, no conclusion, just one sentence. He said, "Mere Pyaro, apni qadar pehchano." Oh my beloved ones, recognize your value. This is what we need to do as Huffaz of the Quran. We need to recognize our value, what value we hold in the eyes of the Creator. Forget the creation, in the eyes of the Creator. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "Ahlul Quran hum Ahlullah." The Ahle Quran are the people of Allah. Ahlul Quran hum Ahlullah. The people of the Quran, those people who memorize the Quran, who become Huffaz, or those people who do not memorize the Quran but who frequently recite the Quran. There are many people who are not Huffaz of the Quran, but they engage themselves in the recitation of the Quran so much that they complete the Quran daily. I have seen people in the UK too who are always reciting the Quran. 15 juz, 20 juz, 25 juz, 30 juz in one day. Daily for many, many years. So Ahlul Quran are those people who memorize the Quran, or who do not memorize the Quran but who continue reciting the Quran. Nazira. Or Ahlul Quran are those people who learn the meanings of the Quran. But for all three of them to be categorized as Ahlul Quran, one thing is very necessary for all three. A Hafiz of the Quran or Alim of the Quran. A person who is not a Hafiz but he is an Alim. So you have a person who is Hafiz of the Quran but not an Alim. You have a person who is Alim of the Quran but not Hafiz. And you have a third person who is neither Hafiz nor Alim, but he attaches himself to the Quran, the recitation of the Quran. All these three are Ahlul Quran. All these three will be called Hamilul Quran. But in order for them to be called Ahlul Quran or Hamilul Quran, one thing is necessary: Amal on the Quran. So you have a person who has memorized the whole Quran, but he doesn't practice the Quran. You have a person who has not memorized the Quran, but he is an Alim of the Quran. If you sit him down and ask him to lecture on tafsir, a verse of the Quran, he will lecture for hours. And so much ilm he has, but he doesn't practice the Quran. Or you have somebody who recites the Quran very much, but he doesn't practice the Quran. Neither of these three can be regarded as people of the Quran. In order to become people of the Quran, memorize the Quran and then practice, or read the Quran in abundance and practice, or learn the meanings of the Quran, become an alim and practice. So Ahlul Quran hum Ahlullah, they are the people of Allah. They are, in our terminology, the awliya are known as Ahlullah, Allahu Ali. Ahlul Quran hum Ahlullah. The people of the Quran are the people of Allah. And not only are they people of Allah, wa khassatu, they are the special people of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in another hadith, Hamilul Quran, Hamilu Ra'yatil Islam. The Hamil of the Quran is the torch bearer of Islam, or the flag bearer of Islam. He is the leader of the Muslims. حامل القرآن حامل رأية الإسلام من أكرمه فقد أكرم الله. One who honors this حامل القرآن has indeed honored Allah سبحانه وتعالى, because he is from the people of Allah, he is from the special people of Allah. If somebody reveres him, then in reality he has revered Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وَمَنْ أَهَانَهُ, and he becomes so important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the layman, the public are told, وَمَنْ أَهَانَهُ, one who disgraces him, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ, then may the la'nat and curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions your virtues. You are alhamdulillah hamilul Quran, huffaz of the Quran. Idha mata hamilul Quran, when the hamilul Quran leaves this world, when he departs from this world, when he dies and he is laid in the grave to rest, awhallahu ilal ardi an la ta'kuli lahmahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the earth. Allah orders the earth, do not touch his meat, do not touch his flesh, do not devour his flesh. So fatakulul ardo, the earth says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that portion of the earth, the grave, ya rab, oh my rab, kaifa akulu lahmahu, how can I devour his flesh, wa kalamuka fi jawfihi,
when your book is in his heart, when he has memorized the whole Quran, how can he devour his meat? He is so precious. If we have a jewel in a small box, then you will look after the box as well, because it contains the jewel. That box becomes very, very valuable as well. Yes, if the jewel is not there, then you will throw away the box. But for as long as the jewel is in the box, you look after the box. So for as long as the Quran remains within our heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after our bodies. So in this very world we will be honored, at the time of death we will be honored, in the grave we will be honored. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ. It will be said to the Sahibul Quran, اِقْرَى وَرْتَقِي. Read and climb the steps of Jannah. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi explaining this Hadith says that it seems as if, and it is supported by other traditions also, Ahadith also, that it seems as if there will be the status in Jannah will be according to the number of the ayat of the Quran. And I explain it to my young friends in this way in the UK to make it easier for them, that nowadays when we go abroad for a holiday or when we travel, we have hotels 1 star, 2 stars, 3 star, 4 star, 5 star, 6 star, I think it goes as far as 7 or 8 stars. In Jannah you will have 1 star Jannah, 2 star, 3 star, 4 star. It will go as far as the number of the verses of the Quran. More than 6,000 stars will be there for Jannah, inshallah. So it will be said to the Hafiz of the Quran, Iqra Wartaki. Read, if you read one verse, you go to the first star Jannah, 1 star Jannah. You read second verse, 2 star Jannah. You read the third verse, 3 star Jannah. If you are able to read the whole of the Quran, you will reach the highest Jannah. اقرأ ورتك فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأه. Your status in Jannah is according to the last verse of the Quran that you recite. So we will be honored there as well. So there are so many virtues that we can continue to mention. Quran is very much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Quran wa habbu ila Allah min as-samawati wal-ard. Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the earth and the heavens. So we need to recognize our value. We need to, when we are on our own, once in a while, when we are on our own at home, once in a month, once in a week, ask ourselves that, you are Hafiz of the Quran, you are Alim of the Quran, you are Hamilul Quran, you are from the Ahlul Quran. Allah has been so kind to you. Are you fulfilling the rights of being the Hamilul Quran, Hafizul Quran? We all have shortcomings. We all have our shortcomings. In this world, we all have ups and downs. But until we do not, keeping the hereafter in mind, keeping the grave in mind, ask questions. And after asking questions, contemplating, if we do not come to some kind of conclusion, then we will be in trouble. But if we do not become neglectful of the hereafter, and if we continue to question ourselves, who am I? What am I? How do the public perceive me? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, we have heard about him over and over again, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi performed for 40 years continuously the Fajr Salat with the Wudu of Isha Salat. And you know how that came about? One day Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was going somewhere, and two ladies were standing in the street talking about something. And when their gaze fell on Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, one said to the other, do you know who this person is? So the other said, no. So the first one said, this is Nu'man ibn Thabit rahimahullahu ta'ala. He is that person who performs his Fajr Salat with the wudu of Isha. Whereas this was not the practice of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts reverence, respect in the hearts of the people, and they have so much husn-e-dhan, good thoughts about the ulama, good thoughts about the fuqaha. And maybe this was a way of bringing Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi on this path. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, when he heard this conversation, he just stood there for a while in a state of shock. That after Isha you go to sleep, and this is how the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perceiving you, that you are performing tahajjud throughout the night. So if the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perceives you to be doing this, then from today you should do it. And he began from that night, and he lived for 40 years after that, and for 40 years continuously, in thick, thin, whatever he performed, his Fajr Salat with the wuzu of Isha Salat. So how we need to ask ourselves, how does the makhluk of Allah perceive me? How do people see me in Lisbon? Whenever I come across people, when I meet them, and when people know I am a hafiz of the Quran, I am the alim of the Quran, how do people see me? They respect me, they revere me, they honor me, because they feel that this person is special, he is much better than me. And then we need to ask ourselves, am I in reality better than this person who is revering me? Alhamdulillah, I have the Quran, I have memorized the Quran, but in practice, in amal, am I really better than him? If he perceives me to be better than him, then I need to try to become better than him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed all my faults, all my shortcomings, he's sattar, he has concealed all my faults, he knows what I'm doing, but despite that, still people have love for me, people have respect for me, people find a soft corner for me in their hearts, I must behave in a way. If we continue to do this muhasaba, this reflection of ourselves, a day will come when slowly, slowly, slowly changes will come in the life, and we will become more serious. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the last Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he used to say that the salat of the ulama and huffaz should be slightly different from the salat of non-ulama and non-huffaz. That means when an alim or hafiz is performing salat, then the quality of his salat should be different from the quality of a non-alim or non-hafiz, because he is a special person, he needs to behave in a special way, more according to sunnah, more khushu, more khudu. He should perform salat slowly, not rush. So Allah has made us special people, we need to practically become special people. If Allah has made us special, we need to practically become special, without any pride, without any arrogance, with humbleness. And we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue to be grateful to Him. I was reading a book called Laylus Salihin, The Nights of the Pious, and I came across I came across where the author had mentioned Hazrat Urwa ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It was the habit of Urwa ibn Zubair rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great tabi, he was the nephew of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, son of Hazrat Asma radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the grandson of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So many virtues as far as his family lineage is concerned. It was his habit to complete the Quran in 4 nights. He would read 7.5 juz every day. So most of the night was spent in reciting the 7.5 juz with tadabbur, with concentrating on the meaning of the Quran and the tafsir of the Quran. 7.5 juz. So most of the night was spent. And he was a great alim, but despite that, because he loved to perform tahajjud salat and recite the Quran in tahajjud salat, 7.5 juz, with full concentration and tafsir of the Quran, he would spend most of his day going through the tafsir of the 7.5 juz. So every day he would go through the tafsir of 7.5 juz, and then he would recite that 7.5 juz during the night. And every fourth day he would complete the Quran in tahajjud. The only day he missed reciting 7.5 juz in tahajjud when he had a problem with his foot, and that night his foot was amputated. And even that happened while there was no anesthetic in those days. So in those days, if somebody had to have an operation, then 4, 5, 8, 10 people would hold him, and after the operation or during the operation he would become unconscious. But he said, no, you operate me, you can cut my foot off, my leg off, nobody needs to hold me. And he remained conscious throughout, and not a single word was heard during his operation. This is how much he was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the doctor left him, and when the people of his household were seeing the doctor off, he was heard saying in the room, he was alone, and during those days one of his sons had passed away as well. He had 4 sons and one of his sons had passed away. So he was heard by people saying that, "Oh Allah, you are so kareem that I had 4 sons, you have taken away only one and left 3 with me. And oh Allah, you are so kareem." This is immediately after the operation. He is saying, "Oh Allah, you are so kareem, you are so generous that you had given me 4 limbs through which I was able to do a lot of work, 2 legs and 2 hands. You have taken away only one and left 3 with me." These are the Hamilul Quran. Hazrat Uwais Qarni rahimahullah ta'ala, the great tabi, the best tabi, Umar radiallahu anhu was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if you meet Uwais Qarni, then ask him to make istighfar for you. So regarding Uwais Qarni, it is said that his method of performing tahajjud was unique. He would try to imitate the angels in tahajjud. He used to say that there are certain angels who have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the time of their creation they are doing nothing but qiyam. So there is no ruku for them, no sajda for them. There are others who are in ruku only. They cannot perform qiyam or sajda. And there are others who are performing sajda only. There is no ruku or no qiyam for them. So from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them, thousands of malaika are in qiyam only, thousands are in ruku only, thousands in sajda only. And on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them all together, and the angels were created well before us, they will come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will all proclaim, "Ma abadana ka haqqa ibadatik." We have not been able to worship you as you were worthy of worship. So Uwais Qarni rahmatullahi alayhi, what he would do is, his method of performing tahajjud was that on the first day he would begin his tahajjud after Isha, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever, and he would spend the whole night in qiyam only. And just before the break of dawn he would go into ruku, a short ruku and sajda and short second rakat. So the first day is all in qiyam. Comes the next day, he will start performing tahajjud. Now today, a very short qiyam, Surah Al-Fatiha, a few verses, and he would go into ruku. And he would remain in ruku until dawn. Just before the break of dawn, he would quickly complete the two rakat. And on the third day, he would begin his salat again. A very short qiyam, very short ruku, and he would go into prostration. And he would continue that prostration until just before dawn. And every day after performing these two rakat, he would say, Ma abadduka haqqa ibadatik. Oh Allah, I could not worship you the way you deserve worship. So these are our pious predecessors who are an example for us. So what we need to do, my very beloved Huffaz Ulama, is to recognize our value. Recognize our value. And the first thing we need to do is to make sure that we do not forget the Quran. The silsila that we belong to is Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi instruct those people who were spiritually associated to him and who were huffaz to recite at least 3 juz daily. So none huffaz should recite 1 juz daily, and the huffaz should recite 3 juz. And some of us become so neglectful, and we make our life so busy in other matters that never mind 3 juz, never mind 3 ruku, we are unable to even recite 3 ayat. Days and months pass, but we are unable to complete the glorious Quran. So Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that Huffaz should recite 3 juz daily. And he used to say majority of that should be in Salat. Because if majority of that is in Salat, you will not forget the Quran. And to make it easy for people, if they find 3 juz difficult to recite because of memory or a lot of tension, stress, then recite 1 juz early in the morning or before going to sleep at night. And in 24 hours, recite that very chapter twice. Or recite half a juz. Look into the Quran, sit with the Quran and put it to memory. And once you put it to memory, that half juz, during 24 hours, recite it 5 more times. It will become 3. And you can do the same with quarter if you want to. Slowly, slowly, you will regain the Quran in your memory, even if you have forgotten. Quran is easy to put to memory, difficult to put to memory, but it is very easy to lose it from memory. And once we lose it, then we can't pull ourselves together. And we just don't realize what a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have lost. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that, it is the riwayah of Tirmidhi Sharif, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he came with 2 lists. On one list were all the good deeds that a person can perform in this world. On the other were all the evil deeds that a person can do in this world. He said at the top of the list of the evils, I saw written that a person who memorizes a portion of the Quran and thereafter forgets. A person memorizes a portion of the Quran, say Surah Al-Fil or Surah Al-Fatiha, or in Makatib, a lot of people memorize Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Al-Yasin. And people tend to think that the warning for forgetting the Quran that have been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are only for those people who have become complete huffaz. No. Even one verse, if a person memorizes a portion of the Quran, an ayat from the Quran, and thereafter he forgets, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sin was top of the list. And according to some mufassirin, the tafsir of these verses, man arada an dhikri, one who turns his face away from my Quran, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, then for him will be a life full of difficulties. Life full of difficulties. Now life full of difficulties, he will have dollars, pounds, good house, good car, everything. But he will not feel content. Peace of mind will not be there. Sometimes wife will become a problem, children will become a problem, some other problem, some illness, some sickness, some tension will always remain with him. He will have a very rough life. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَامًا. And we will resurrect him on the day of Qiyamah as a blind person. He will be blind on the day of Qiyamah. He will be struggling to walk. He will be struggling to find his destination. And he will say, رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي عَامًا وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Oh Allah, my eyes were perfect in the world. Why have you resurrected me as a blind person? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. My ayat came to you. My ayat, that means my ayat came to you and I gave you the tawfiq to memorize those ayat and make your heart the treasure of those ayat. But you neglected those ayat. So today on the day of Qiyamah, I will neglect you. You will be neglected today. So this is the first thing we need to do. We need to recognize our value and start the recitation of the Quran. I tell my huffaz friend that shaitan will always worry you and he will say that yes, it is necessary, it is a big sin that I have forgotten the Quran and I want to memorize it, but it's too difficult, I've forgotten the whole Quran. If it was possible to memorize the Quran the very first time, then the second time it's even more easier. It's only shaitan putting this obstacle. So make this intention that okay, I'm going to revise and revisit the Quran and find an ustad, find a fellow hafiz, a colleague, and say to him that can you listen to one ruku every day or whatever I am able to read. In the initial stages you will come with 3 ayat, 4 ayat, 5 ayat, and then look at the barakah. Then look at the barakah. Within year and a half, you'll have the full Quran under control, inshallah. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا قُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرْ. We have made Quran easy to memorize. Is there anybody who wishes to memorize? When a person repents, sincerely turns to Allah. And thereafter, continue recitation. Continue recitation of the Quran. Continue recitation of the Quran. Tamim Dari, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sayyid ibn Jubair, rahimahullah ta'ala, these companions, these tabi'in, it was their practice. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiyallahu anhu, Tamim Dari radiyallahu anhu, Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala, it was their practice to recite the Quran, the whole Quran daily in one rakat. Allah puts barakah in time also. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah managed to write approximately 1000 books. 1000 books, some as small as pamphlets and some in volumes. So how is it possible? We think, how is it possible? For us it's not possible. For him it was possible. Same life, same time, same busy schedule. But because Allah puts barakah in that time. If you look at one day I was speaking to our Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Damat Barakatuhu, and regarding Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and I asked him a question regarding the letters of Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, because I wanted to know some details regarding a particular thing. How many letters Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to write? So Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Damat Barakatuhum said to me that if all the letters that Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi had written in his life were collected, all the letters, and if they were published, then the human intellect will not be able to comprehend that how a person, never mind his other occupations, he was a great sheikh, thousands of people used to come to visit him, dozens on a daily basis, and then writing the book on hadith, teaching hadith for so many years. Just imagine that from the age of 20-25, Shaykhul Hadith had nothing to do but to write letters. And until the age of 80, all he was doing was writing letters to people. Even if you assume this, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib said that it will be difficult for the human mind to comprehend how Shaykh al-Hadith was able to write so many letters in 6 years. That are the number of letters that he has written. And when we go through those letters that have been published, the Mahabbat Nami in 3 volumes, the letters written to Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib and Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib, then the letters written to Maulana Hashim Sahib, letters written to Mufti Ismail Kachulvi Sahib, the letters that have been published recently, Dr. Ismail Sahib. If you look at the letters, so many insignificant details you find in the letter. Such a busy person, but so many insignificant details. He is writing to one of his murids and he is writing that I have received a letter from him today and he has mentioned this in the letter. Very small items which we don't have time to write today even in one letter. This was the barakah that Allah granted in their lives. Because they were working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincere. So we need to start reciting the Quran. Start reciting the Quran and start rememorizing the Quran if we have forgotten the Quran. And for a hafiz, Qiyamul Layl should be assumed as compulsory. Tahajjud, Qiyamul Layl. Now don't take this to be very, very difficult. Let us start with a very simple method from today. The time for tahajjud begins. A lot of people, tahajjud is the key to all successes, especially the spiritual successes. But a lot of people don't perform tahajjud. Why? It's difficult to wake up at 3 o'clock. That is where the misunderstanding is from shaitan, because shaitan does not wish that we perform tahajjud. The time for dhuhr begins at 1, but we perform at 2:30. The time for tahajjud begins straight after Isha. So who says you have to wake up at 3 o'clock? That is afzal time, that is the better time, that is the best time. The time for tahajjud begins after Isha. If we make a habit of performing 2 rakat nafl after the Isha salat with the intention of tahajjud, and thereafter we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, "Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for granting me the tawfiq to do Qiyamul Layl in a very short version. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you and I ask you to grant me the tawfiq to wake up at the more better and more desirable time, and grant me the tawfiq to perform Qiyamul Layl just like my pious predecessors used to do." Sooner or later, if you continue like this, within months your eyes will begin to open at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. Try it. And then from a short qiyam, it will go to a long qiyam. Allah will grant tawfiq inshallah. So recitation of the Quran, rememorize the Quran, Qiyamul Layl. And try to read in these 2 rakat whatever you have read during the day, not the short surahs. And number 3, practically also, we need to assess our lives. We need to check our lives. The first and foremost is, what wrongs am I doing? So many times because of our young age, we take life for granted. I want to change and I'm going to change. I am an alim, I am a hafiz of the Quran, I can't stay like this. I know it's wrong. I'm going to change. And I'm going to change very soon. By this Ramzan, change is going to come. That's how shaitan slowly. Shaitan will never let this thought creep in your mind that I don't want to change. Because if that thought creeps into our mind, that we will understand immediately this is shaitan. So he will continue to extend the visa from one Ramzan to other Ramzan, from 1 month to another month. I'm going to change definitely this Ramzan because I'm going to go for Umrah. Now he is satisfied, no effort, because he knows that until Ramzan he's not going to do anything. Comes Ramadan, you make intention for Hajj. So now you say, after Hajj I'm going to start. come the time for Hajj, you make intention that I'm going to go to my Shaykh and spend some time in the Khanqah. So this just continues. No, we have to change. We have to make a list of all the wrongs that we are doing. Sometimes we cannot even imagine how many wrongs we are doing. So I tell my friends back home in the UK that sit down on your own and put down all the wrongs that you are doing. So at least you are able to realize your value. That, oh, I'm Hafiz of the Quran, Alim of the Quran, and this is my state. And if we put down all the wrongs that we are doing, we will come to this conclusion that 90% of the wrongs that I am doing are very easy to leave, and there is no worldly benefit either. In the 90% of the things I am doing, there is no enjoyment, there is no worldly benefit. It's just sheer neglect, that's all. So if you cut those things out from your life, then you'll have 10%, 20% of the wrongs remaining in your life. So the nahusat of the other sins will go away from your life. Now nur, more nur will come in your life, and these things will become easy to leave as well. But we have to make a program, a target. Five times salat is very important. We all fast in the month of Ramadan, but the fasting with quality. Salat everybody performs, but with quality. And the protection of the gaze, safeguarding of the gaze, safeguarding of the ears, safeguarding of the tongue. Layani, we spend a lot of time in layani, something that neither benefits us in this world nor in the hereafter. That is a sheer waste of life. Sheer waste of life. Something that doesn't benefit in this world nor in the hereafter. We just sit in talking about politics, talking about football, talking about cricket for hours and hours. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. So sinful activity should be discarded. Layani should also be discarded. Layani, we are young, we like to sit with friends and talk, maybe go out for a picnic. Okay, fine. But limit your time. Not without thinking. Layani should also be discarded. And we need to behave in such a way that our ulama and our pious predecessors used to behave, especially with the public. And there are so many wrong things that we can do when we are alone in the darkness of the night. Especially the internet is very, very dangerous. Internet is very, very dangerous for religious people. For irreligious people, they don't have to go onto the internet to do wrong. They are already doing it outside, openly. For religious people, night time and internet is very dangerous. Because your intention will be to go and look at the news on BBC, and slowly, 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 you'll drift away. There are so many religious people who come, who are spiritually connected, and who complain and say, this is my problem. And until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, the person is on the net. Tahajjud is on one side, he cannot even wake up for Fajr Salat. So what we need to do is worry about ourselves, have concern for ourselves. If we don't have concern for ourselves, who is going to have concern for ourselves? And we have to always remember, Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Reckon yourself before you are reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. Wazinu qabla an tuzanu, and value yourself before you are valued by Allah on the day of Qiyamah. وَتَأَهَّبُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ, and prepare yourself for the Supreme Court that is to come in the hereafter. This is where I would like to end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.